Hi, I'm Matthew Kind. Every Monday, look for a fresh new episode where I'll take you behind the scenes and interview the insiders that are shaping the rapidly evolving cannabis industry. Learn more at cannainsider.com. That's C-A-N-N-A insider.com. Now here's your program. Hi, Canna Insiders. Just a quick note before today's interview gets started that my colleague Sinead Green will be interviewing today's guest.
Hey,
Sinead
Matt.
Oh my God, you scared me. Sinead, I didn't realize you were in the sound booth.
Sorry about that, Matt.
Well, Sinead, since you popped into the sound booth here, this is a great time to just say hello to all the listeners since I was talking about you.
Sounds great. I'd love to. Hey, everybody. I'm Sinead Green, and I've actually been working with Matt behind the scenes for a couple of years now. I'm so excited to put on my hosting hat and really get a chance to engage with you and bring you some more great interviews. And I did want to say, if there's someone you'd like us to bring on the show, please feel free to email me your suggestions at sg@cannainsider.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I really hope you enjoy these upcoming shows.
Gosh, I want to get a hosting hat now that you mentioned it. I'm picturing a huge, like, purple velvet hat. What do you think about that?
I think that would look great on you, Matt.
Okay, really important, Sinead. We want you to do a good job, but not better than me. Does that sound fair?
We'll see about that.
Oh, all right. Well, everybody, enjoy this episode with the host, Sinead.
Nearly 4 years after voters approved legalization in Maine, retail stores were finally given the green light to sell recreational cannabis last year, and the lines have been out the door. Here to tell us about it is Brandon Pollock of Theory Wellness, a vertically integrated cannabis retailer with some of the few licensed recreational stores in Maine and Massachusetts. Welcome to Canna Insider, Brandon.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Give us a sense of geography. Where are you in the world right now?
So right now I am in our office, which is super exciting. But we have an office north of Boston where we spend some time when we're not on the road visiting our facilities or looking for new projects to work on.
Oh, great. Okay. And what is Theory Wellness on a high level?
So on the highest level, Theory Wellness is our cannabis project that we've been working on since 2015 on the East Coast. And we're a vertically integrated cannabis company where we cultivate different varieties of cannabis, produce a wide variety of products, and distribute that to our customers, both adult use customers and medical patients, through our own dispensaries. And we're currently located in Massachusetts and Maine.
Great. And so before I want to jump into everything about Theory Wellness, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background. How did you originally get into the cannabis space and what led you to start Theory Wellness?
Sure. No, that's a great question. So I've been entrepreneurial, if you will, my entire life. Myself and the other founder of Theory Wellness, my business partner, Nick Friedman, we started our first company together in college, actually. And in about 2014 or so, we both became aware of the medical cannabis movement that was happening primarily on the West Coast. And it seemed really interesting. We saw that in Massachusetts, where we were working and living at the time, there were some discussions about medical cannabis and, you know, it had been officially legalized, but there were no dispensaries opened yet. So we decided to head out to California and do some consulting for some of the operators out there to sort of learn what this industry was all about. So I began working for Harborside Health Center out of Oakland, California, which at the time was the largest and one of the first dispensaries in the country. And it was just a fascinating thing to see. There were so many patients coming through the door every day that we were helping. It was playing a huge role in their life. And for us, it seemed clear that this would be something that would benefit people on the East Coast and was going to be part of the future there. So that was sort of the genesis for starting Theory.
Great. Okay. And I heard you mentioned you worked at Harborside. We've actually had a few people from Harborside on the show. How did that period of time influence your approach at Theory Wellness? Did you take any lessons from your time there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were one of the pioneers, and we have a ton of respect for what they've done. They were truly on the forefront of bringing cannabis, as you know, they like to say, out of the shadows and into the light. And really what that means is creating a welcoming environment for patients, testing their products for safety and potency, and just generally, treating cannabis as a more kind of open and accessible treatment option. Certainly it is different than other medications, of course, but just sort of creating that environment where customers can come in, patients come in and become educated and have a wide variety of safe products was really remarkable. And nowadays it seems the norm because it is the norm, but back then that was a much different approach than a lot of the other medical shops were taking.
Definitely. And I've read that you have been a longtime advocate for the repeal of cannabis prohibition. What sparked that passion and what does it mean to you to be working at the forefront of that now?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always been, since high school, a cannabis consumer. Never had any adverse effects other than, eating a little too much food or maybe using a little too much and feeling uncomfortable for an hour or so. But the whole, discrepancy between alcohol and cannabis just from the highest level makes no sense. I mean, we went through alcohol prohibition. It was a tremendous failure. We repealed that, of course. But then we did the same thing with cannabis. And then you couple that with how prohibition is truly been disproportionately affecting certain communities in our country. And the genesis of prohibition in many ways had racial undertones. It seems just, when you look at it with today's lens and historic lenses as well, it's just a failed policy that needs to be repealed. Cannabis should be accessible for any adult without any penalties. And we're heading there, which is great, but there's still a lot of work to go.
That's great. And we'll get into your social equity initiatives that you guys do at Theory Wellness later on in the interview. But you mentioned earlier, you guys are vertically integrated in both Maine and Massachusetts. What are the pros and cons of being vertically integrated in the cannabis industry right now?
Sure. No, that's a great question. So I would say the benefits of vertical integration, there's several, but essentially when you're controlling your own supply chain, it allows your customers and your patients to experience exactly the products that you want to produce for yourself and for them. In other words, if you are simply a dispensary, and I say simply not in a simple way, because even that is a tough business, and I have a lot of respect for people who are running dispensaries. But if you only are a dispensary, you're kind of at the whims of the wholesale market. Yeah, there might be certain strains of flower you can purchase. There might be certain types of vapes you can purchase or different dabs. So you can't really control your own destiny as much. So being vertically integrated allows you to cultivate exactly the type of cannabis you want. It also allows you to produce new products, innovative products, which we can touch on later. We just introduced a new infused seltzer water here in Massachusetts, which has been super popular. So you can really kind of control your own destiny. Now, all that being said, it's a lot more expensive. And one of the most critical issues in cannabis right now is how expensive it is to get into the industry and how that creates a lot of barriers for entrepreneurs. So, it's good to be vertical. We started small and we're fortunate to be able to grow our cultivation into a larger facility, expand our manufacturing, but it certainly is a little harder to get going just trying to find the capital to do so.
Yeah. And I've read it's been a bit aggravating for a lot of dispensaries up in Maine right now with their supply chain. Lots of dispensaries are experiencing some big shortages right now. So was that something you guys had anticipated going into the Maine market?
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting launch where we received one of the first cultivation permits in the state and also opened the first retail store, but there was only about a month in between those two things happening. So as we know, you can't cultivate cannabis in only a month. So initially it was very slim what we could have on the menus, and it was mainly just sort of edible and extract products and things like that as the supply chain caught up. We are really happy to see that on a monthly basis, there's more and more new cultivators and product manufacturers getting licensed in Maine. Maine is interesting where there is a very robust medical program. So there's a lot of infrastructure there that's starting to get ported from medical into adult use, but it's just, you know, it's a lot of paperwork for folks. It's a process to learn metric, to see the sale tracking system. So it's been a bit of a slow process, but the month of May was the record sales of the program up there, and I'd expect it to keep growing through the summer.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw 5 million in sales last month. So that's pretty groundbreaking. And so what would you say in Maine specifically has been selling best right now?
So flower is the king, as it is in Massachusetts, and I think most markets still. Though as we've added more concentrate options on the menu, more edible options on the menu, we've started to see the initial stages of that shift away from flower and more into the different manufactured products, which is typical to what we'd expect to be seeing as customers. You know, they might come into a recreational dispensary for the first time. They've only smoked flower in their life. That's their only experience with cannabis. So that's what they're familiar with. But on their second or third visit, they might be eyeing that chocolate bar and say, all right, you know, I'll try one of those. So we're starting to see a little bit of a shift towards more edibles and concentrates at this point.
Okay, great. And I know I've mostly been asking you about Maine. You guys are also have dispensaries across Massachusetts as well. So have there been any surprising trends that seem unique to the East Coast or the New England area you've observed over the years?
I think what's just unique and kind of fun about the East Coast is it is still very new out here. You know, a lot of just culture and technology in general starts on the West Coast, out in California, and works its way east, and cannabis is no different. So what's really, I find, fun and different about the East Coast is on any given day, dozens of your customers will never have been in a dispensary in their entire life. And you get to be sort of that first experience for them and show them, you know, what it can be like to purchase legal cannabis, what the different products are. And that's something we're really fortunate to have out here where it's just so new still that we can still provide that first time experience for so many of our guests.
Okay, great. And you guys are kind of also pioneering craft cannabis on the East Coast. And that's really a new thing across the country. And I've read that you take a lot of inspiration from Sam Adams and its parent company, Boston Beer, which are pioneers in the craft beer industry. How would you say you're trying to kind of emulate Sam Adams and bring those same craft standards to cannabis? And why is that important to you?
Sure. Yeah. Sam Adams and now there's some other breweries in Massachusetts as well that are really impressive. Basically created a new genre, if you will, a whole new category. After alcohol prohibition was lifted, the marketplace really was a consolidated amount of your big beer companies, you know, your Coors, your Budweisers. But then Sam Adams came along and created a whole new trend about higher end craft products that are, sure, they're more expensive, but they're also higher quality. They taste better. They're packaged in a more aesthetic way. So when we look at cannabis right now, that's where we're trying to position our company to be, both through the quality of the products and then the entire, you know, experience with educating customers, with packaging, with ensuring the flower inside the packaging is stored properly to preserve the terpenes. So we're really trying to differentiate ourselves with that higher end craft brand, which we believe is going to be a smaller portion of the market, but it's a more interesting part of the market to be in.
Okay. And you guys, I mean, quality has been a pillar of yours from day one. You pride yourself in being a small batch craft cannabis company. What does that mean? And how is that different from most other dispensaries?
Sure. I mean, so what it means at the highest level is, you know, smaller cultivation. So our indoor cultivation facilities are, even though our stores are some of the busiest in the state, our actual indoor flower production, we have some of the smallest facilities in Massachusetts and Maine. And what that allows us to do is really put a lot of attention to detail on each harvest cycle, on each plant, even within a veg or bloom room, just to really ensure that they're being cared for properly, they're receiving the right environmentals, the right nutrients. And that allows us to cultivate a really nice product. We also are one of the few companies that only hand trim We don't have any machines ever touching the buds before it gets to our customers. So we try to just think of it from really from seed to sale. How can we take the most care possible with our products?
Okay, great. So with that, you know, you guys have a lot of advantages, and I'm sure you know, if one harvest isn't maybe up to your standards, you can tweak things and change things as you go, whereas other dispensaries can't. But I imagine the small batch model does kind of make scaling a little bit tricky. So what have you done in terms of navigating scaling the company, and how do you think you'll adjust that as you expand into new states?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. It is difficult because since day one, we've struggled to keep up with the demand for our products. And even, you know, today, as we have done some modest expansions, we can't produce enough products to keep our customers satisfied. So in order to help meet our customer demand at the stores, we've really developed, I think, a very good network of other vendors here in Massachusetts and in Maine, where they have similar values to us, where we're happy with the quality of the products they're producing and are happy to also offer those to our customers. But, you know, we're starting to look into new markets like New York, New Jersey. It becomes tempting to try to, you know, build a really big facility and have a lot more team members there and produce a lot more product. But I think we need to temper ourselves and really just make sure that no matter what we're doing, we're continuing to focus on quality as a necessary part of the business that can't be forgotten.
Okay, great. And so you have also, not only do you partner, like you said, with local farmers, but you also support farmers markets in both Maine and Massachusetts to increase supplemental nutrition assistance programs. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Why is local farming so important to you at Theory Wellness?
Sure. So, you know, as a wellness company, and we truly do believe cannabis makes people's lives better, whether it's you're a medical patient or an adult use customer, you're coming to a dispensary to feel better. And that goes really, it really segues well into the wellness aspects of local agriculture. Eating healthy, eating local, it's not just good for the environment, it's not just good for the economy, but it's good for you. And by supporting farmers markets, we feel like we're helping our mission along in general, which is just to create a happier, healthier community that we operate in.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And so I wanted to jump in. You mentioned your new product, High Five, earlier, which is a low-dose THC seltzer. Tell us about that and what inspired you to enter the cannabis beverage space.
Yeah, so this is something we're super excited about. So we've been working on High Five for a couple years now. And the vision, in essence, is that, you know, cannabis can be used in a wide variety of ways and increasingly can and should be a substitute for alcohol. Almost every adult in the country is familiar with drinking an alcoholic beverage. It's very acceptable. It's very social. But for cannabis, us consumers, we've been, you know, kind of relegated to the sidelines a lot of times, you know, and I get it. You know, not everybody likes smoke. Eating a gummy is not social. It's not antisocial. It's just eating a gummy. So we really wanted to get into beverages. And through the brand High Five, we've created a fast-acting seltzer product that can give a customer a dosable experience that tastes delicious and is a very social way to consume cannabis. And it's been very popular so far. We launched it a couple months ago and look forward to continuing to kind of grow that market.
That's great. And so I read the story behind the name High Five is that the onset is 5 minutes, which is just insanely fast. So what kind of effect can consumers expect from High Five, and how does that compare to alcohol?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think that's one of the main advantages of kind of integrating technology with cannabis where we are in 2021. So we use a nano emulsification process with our cannabis concentrate, which essentially allows the cannabis to absorb in a person's body much quicker than a conventional edible. So yeah, our customers will typically start to feel the effects within 5 minutes or so, and they also dissipate quicker. So within an hour, you'll have that effect start to wear off, which is a very similar curve to an alcoholic beverage.
Okay, very interesting. And so where do you see THC seltzers like High Five heading over the next few years? And do you think they'll kind of really start to rival alcohol?
Yeah, I really do. I would be bold enough, I think, to predict that long-term they will outpace alcohol because we're moving towards a healthier society, a more health-conscious society. And being able to have a social beverage where you don't have a hangover, you don't consume calories, you're consuming only all natural products it's kind of an obvious alternative to alcohol once it becomes more accessible to every adult. Right now, the main thing that's holding back cannabis beverages is just that beverages are really hard. You need big trucks, you need big facilities, you need to store millions of cans. It's a whole different business model than any other cannabis product. So it's challenging to get that going, but I think once you know, Theory Wellness and other companies start to really understand the beverage space, I think the impacts are going to be tremendous.
Okay, great. And how did you guys land on the concentration that you use for High Five? And what is the potency for High Five THC seltzer?
Sure. Yeah. So High Five right now, we have what we call a micro version. So High Five Micro, which is similar maybe to your Bud Light, if you will, if you're going to make that sort of stretch of an analogy. So that's targeting around a 2 or 2.5 milligram dose of THC. And then we have the more conventional High Five, the standard dose, which is 5 milligrams. So we were looking to create, you know, two different options for folks. With nano emulsification, the experience tends to be a little stronger, a little quicker, of course, than a normal edible. So 5 milligrams might feel more like a 10 milligram to some people. So we think it's a really good social dose. And especially with the micros heading into the summer, we wanted to create a product that was sessionable, that people could enjoy a couple of them at a barbecue and not potentially overdo it. So that's where we are now. And we're going to probably continue to innovate, introduce some new dosages, some blends with different other cannabinoids. And there's really a lot of exciting things that we can do with the brand.
Great. Okay. And so how have you guys gone about navigating distribution for High Five outside your own Theory Wellness dispensaries? Have there been any challenges there?
Yes, there's been a lot of challenges. So beverages, as we were talking about earlier, beverages are tough. They're heavy, they're big, they're bulky. So we've had to purchase, you know, different types of vehicles, box trucks, delivery vans, things like that, just to help distribute these products. And then also we have to be on the road a lot because they take up so much more space when most of our wholesale vendors were building their storage vaults in their dispensaries. They weren't thinking about storing drinks, you know, thinking about storing gummies or pre-rolls, which take up maybe a tenth of the space. So space and weight are really challenging right now for beverages because unlike a liquor store, unlike a beer company, we can't just buy another truck. We can't just store things in the hallways. We're super regulated. So all of our vehicles have to be registered and inspected by the state of Massachusetts. Storage has to be in very specific areas in people's stores. So there's definitely some growing pains that we're navigating right now as we try to expand beverages.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so I wanted to move on to your sustainability or your social equity initiatives. You kind of touched on that earlier, but I know that's a huge part of what you guys do. So I wanted to really dive into that here. So tell us about your program Theory Cares and why this is important to you. Why do you think this is going to really impact the industry for the better going forward?
Yeah, sure. And I do appreciate that. I think from our view, we've done from what we feel is sort of the bare minimum, and we want to keep doing much more to give back and contribute in meaningful ways. We certainly acknowledge that the war on drugs has been not just a massive failure, but has been really negatively affecting certain communities of color for decades here in the U.S. And Massachusetts is not immune to that pain. So what we've done at Theory is we've created an in-house social equity program where we decided that instead of hosting, you know, different job fairs or educational seminars, we really wanted to help an entrepreneur get going in cannabis. So we did a process where we interviewed dozens of aspiring entrepreneurs. All of them were certified by the state of Massachusetts as economic empowerment applicants, which essentially means their backgrounds are from communities that were disproportionately harmed by the war on drugs. And we're really fortunate to find and start working with the Legal Greens team. So this is a business run by Vanessa and Mark, and they've been really awesome to work with. So we've helped provide them financing and mentorship, and sort of over the last couple of years, it's really kind of provide them the help they need to open their dispensary. You know, they can do 99% on their own, but that 1% that we can help provide just through already walking down that path, I think has been helpful for them. And we're really proud that they recently opened their first dispensary in Brockton here in Massachusetts. So it's been a great success, our program, and we're going to be opening up to a second round really soon.
Very cool. Okay. So one last question before we jump into some personal development questions. What is one thing going on in the cannabis industry right now that you think will have a big impact, but maybe is a little underappreciated right now?
Oh, interesting. that's a great question. So I would say, I mean, the easy one for us to say is beverages, right? Because it's still such a small part of the market, but I think it's going to be huge. But I think even though it's getting a lot of press, I think the real movement we're seeing at the federal level is starting to get, or maybe it's not getting the attention it deserves in the right way, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see how businesses in the next couple of years start to position themselves for federal prohibition. Because right now we have a really interesting marketplace in the US where in every state that a company operates in, they have their own production facilities, their own distribution, their own dispensaries. But there's going to be some day in the near future where, you know, cannabis grown in California can be shipped to Massachusetts. And how is that going to start to change all these investments people are making right now or contemplating right now? So I think continuing to really think about the future is going to be important for everybody in the space to make sure that, you know, things are being positioned in a thoughtful way.
Oh, okay. That's a really good point. Okay, cool. Okay. So that kind of wraps up the bulk of the interview. I did want to jump into just a couple of personal development questions though here for you, Brandon. So the first one, is there a book that has had a big impact on your life or way of thinking you'd like to share?
A book. Trying to think if there's been a meaningful, I wouldn't say a book that necessarily jumps to mind off the top of my head.
This can be anything, really, if it's a documentary or anything.
I mean, I think one of the things that's been really impactful is when I was in college, I studied philosophy. And sort of thinking about how great thinkers, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, looked at problems and then trying to reconcile their thought process with where we are as a country these days, I think is something we always try to think about. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, the more that you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything, essentially. And, you know, we try to weave that into our daily life because it's true. I mean, there's so much out there. It's really important, especially in cannabis, to keep just an open mind and try to keep learning every day because things are changing. There's new technology, there's new information. We're really just scratching the surface. So I'd say sort of having a philosophical outlook on life and business has been very helpful over the years.
Absolutely. Okay, Brandon, I've got a real hard-hitting question here for you. What is your favorite unhealthy comfort food or guilty pleasure?
I'm going to have to go with Chinese food is my classic go-to munchie. When once every couple months, I'll just get that craving, and it can only be satisfied by some good greasy Chinese food. So that's just how it goes sometimes.
Nice. Yep. I am right there with you. I love some good Chinese food.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we close, how can listeners find you online and connect with you?
Sure. So our website is theorywellness.org, and we're all over the social media too, is Theory Wellness. And we love to connect with our current guests and new customers alike. So yeah, feel free to get in touch.
Great. All right. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it and wish you the best of luck with everything going on in the rest of 2021.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's been great. Great talking to you today.
If you enjoyed the show today, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever app you might be using to listen to the show. Every 5-star review helps us to bring the best guest to you. Learn more at cannainsider.com/iTunes. What are the 5 disruptive trends that will impact the cannabis industry in the next 5 years? Find out with your free report at cannainsider.com/trends. Have a suggestion for an awesome guest on Canna Insider? Simply send us an email at feedback@cannainsider.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Canna Insider or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments. Promotional consideration may be provided by select guests, advertisers, or companies featured in Canna Insider. Lastly, the host or guests on Canna Insider may or may not invest in the companies or entrepreneurs profiled on the show. Please consult your licensed financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Final disclosure to see if you're still paying attention. This little whistle jingle you're listening to will get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and look for another Canna Insider episode soon. Take care. Bye-bye.